That's right, folks. You're going to have to do some road running to keep up with us this week because we are taking the show on the road. Today we are here at Fashion Square, but that's right. You're still listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. That's right here. We're here for the annual now Score Biz Fest, and we'll be telling you more about that during the show today. But, of course, I am Christopher Hart, and I do have the chairman of the board with me here today, last year's keynote speaker for this event, none other than Michael MacBath.
Chris, I have to tell you, I have tears in my eyes not being able to do it this year. But I will say, you know, again, a positive note to Rich.
Rich Jekyll of Score.
Yeah, I mean, I even brought this up at the NFL convention in March because this is the greatest service that you people can do for, you know, particularly younger people who, even though they may have a graduate degree in money and finance and all that, they need real-life experience. And that's what you people provide them. And the mentorships that you provide really have resulted in many, many, many successful corporations. And since our government doesn't do it for us, thank God there's people like you out there doing it. So thanks again for everybody.
Yeah, it's another great event here today. Rich is going to join us in a little while on the show. But, of course, you can join us at any time. We will take phone calls at 407-774-8255. And speaking of real-world experience, we have our very own commanding general of the American Adversaries Army with us who has got all kinds of real-world experience. And, of course, I'm talking about Colonel Danny McKnight. Colonel, thanks for once again for being a part of the American Adversaries show.
Happy to be here. It's quite as far to drive as I normally do to get to you.
That's right. A little bit cross town over here at the Fashion Square Mall, which is where we're at the National Entrepreneur Center. And once again, we'll be talking a lot more about SCORE. Right now, they're in hearing the keynote address tonight. They had a little pitch fest, which is a biz fest type thing. But once again, we'll be talking about that more later on in the show. And of course, the big news today is the primary that's going on in Indiana. But before we get to that, I want to congratulate Colonel Danny McKnight because he had a fantastic fundraiser the other night. And I want to thank you folks who helped us make it a success. It benefited the St. Baldrick's Foundation, and they provide research and things for pediatric cancer.
Yep, the young kids, exactly. Yep.
And you had a survivor there?
Yes, we had Julie.
Powerful experience just seeing this girl.
Just thinking about it gets me because when I saw her 3 years ago, the first time I ever met her, and it was a fundraiser for her then, and she was 11 years old, little old bitty, really, you know, bald girl and everything like that. And lo and behold, when I saw her the other night, it just blew me away because as you saw her, Chris, she's a beautiful young lady now and looks so healthy and so good. It shows it does work when we can put our, you know, goals together to help kids, especially. I mean, you know, when I've got a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, and 6-year-old grandchildren, I mean, that's what I think about. So if I can help somebody else, and that's what we did, that great group of people that I had there the other night, and when we raised over $10,000 totally, proceeds that go totally to
every
St.
Penny.
Baldrick's.
Every penny
of that, $10,016.92.
Chris, now think about this.
Where did 92 cents come from?
If this were Hillary's foundation, Hillary would have kept 9,000 and 1,000 would have gone to the charity.
No, you're wrong.
Maybe not that much.
We've got the 1692.
$9,500.
But you know what? That's great that Danny does this because, you know, again, it's a lot of work. I mean, it's unbelievable amount of work. So congratulations again.
Well, you both give you a lot of your time and efforts to raising money for various organizations. You're constantly certainly doing it, Mike. I know Danny's constantly doing that sort of thing. And, of course, he's the national spokesperson for Operation Safety 91, a great organization that provides Psalm 91, the warrior's prayer, to as many first responders and military personnel as possible. Because that little extra bit of a, you know, prayer may be the advantage.
Every little bit helps.
Every little
exactly
bit
right.
Helps.
It sure does.
And I tell you what, I spoke about this on the show Sunday night, and it was an absolute honor and privilege to be there with you folks. And what I'm talking about is the special screening of the movie Black Hawk Down that I actually got to see with some of the men that the movie was made about. And that is a rare and powerful experience. And to see these fine men stand up there, and it just made me so proud to be American. I don't know if he told you this, but after the show, I went up to Carl. Now, please tell everybody who Carl is.
Carl was a retired Chief Warrant Officer 5. He was a little bird pilot with us in Somalia. Now he's an instructor pilot at Fort Campbell still, even though he's retired. But he landed a little bird there that got the guy out that was defending the first crash site. And the movie, I sort of almost laughed inside. I don't ever laughed out. But when I saw it again and he landed in the movie, there was enough room to put two helicopters in there. But reality was he had about 6 inches on each side of his blades from hitting a wall. And he still put it down. That's how good Carl is. That's how good all of those guys are. But that's Carl.
And he was in the Army 30-plus years.
38 years. He started out as an enlisted soldier, became a warrant officer, and retired after 38 years. Yep.
And flew missions. You name a place where we've been in action over that period of time, and he flew missions there.
He can tell you every one of them. Exactly.
And I went up to him after the movie, and I grabbed him by the wrists, and I said, I just wanted to see those hands that protected so many men's lives and did such great flying. Yeah. And he said, well, they're a little soft. I said, well, that's because they're so good at flying helicopters.
They were steady hands, though, that's for sure, to do what he did.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. And you had, tell them about the rest of the guys there, like Sean.
Well, there was two guys that I brought in from, they both happened to live in Nashville, which made it good because I put them on the same plane down from Nashville, and they stayed at our house. And Linda had met Sean before, but she had never met Carl. But anyway, Carl was the aviator, but I brought Sean in. He's a retired command sergeant major. He retired after 32 years in the Army, and he was in Somalia as a platoon sergeant, sergeant first class. He was responsible about 45 Rangers in the streets for 18 hours. And he, you know, when he retired, he'd been to Afghanistan, Iraq, probably Iran. Oh, that's right. We haven't been there, have we?
Yet.
Yeah, that's a joke. Yeah. But anyway, Sean is just the ultimate non-commissioned officer. I mean, and he's got a son that spent time in 1st Ranger Battalion. He's out now. He's got some PTSD problems, not because of any wounds he suffered, but I think sometimes it's even worse. He had a sergeant beside him get killed 5 feet from him, and sometimes that lingers a long time. And so his son's dealing with that. But Sean was, without a doubt, the ultimate non-commissioned officer that you want leading young Rangers, that's for sure. And then I had Todd Blackburn. Todd Blackburn is the young man in the movie that falls off the rope, which he really did. Probably about 60 feet he fell.
It's amazing he survived it all.
Absolutely. Broken hip, broke back, internal injuries, head injury, etc. But I think when he does things like that the other night, I saw him better after that. Because I think every time he sees it, he knows now that nobody says it was his fault, because it wasn't his fault. It just happened, you know. Things happen, and you don't have control over every one of them. And I think he's just finally come to, I think the other night really got him over where I wanted him to. He and his wife, Christina, were at the house for quite a while, and they spent Friday night there. But I think Todd felt for a long time that it was his fault what happened. Well, when he fell off that rope, it didn't affect anything else we were still doing.
Right.
And the only thing that had an impact on was during his evacuation back so they could keep him alive, Sergeant Dominic Pila got killed. And, you know, that's the only impact it had, but not on the mission. We had no helicopters go down at that point.
Right.
So that all happened. That was what the real problem was helicopters getting shot down.
Right.
But Todd named his, he and Christina have one little boy. She has two kids. He has two kids, and now they have Dominic. Dominic, they named him after
great.
Sergeant Pila.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
That's the kind of young men that I was so blessed to have around me. It was unbelievable.
Well, it was just, like I said, it was an honor to see the movie with you. As I told you that night, as I said on the show Sunday night, and I'm not kidding, I could not watch that movie start to finish because I had seen a special on a History Channel about the mission, and I was just so enraged that any time I'd watch a little bit of that movie, I'd just get so pissed off, to be honest with you, that I'd have to get up and walk away from it. So that was the first time I'd seen the movie from start to finish, and I'd seen most of it, but I noticed that there were some pieces that I hadn't seen in the movie. And but it just made me terrifically proud of our fighting Americans. And then to hear what Sean had to say, some of the things he had to say in the question and answer period, mm-hmm. about how the movie doesn't really it doesn't really give you guys as much credit as it should. It's the best way I can put it.
And he's right about that. You're right. Exactly. It really is a very correct statement. People don't have a clue what could have happened. We only lost 16 people. We could have easily lost 60 people.
Or more.
But we didn't because of great leadership and soldiers fighting their butt off for each other
right.
more than for themselves, because that's what they do, you
yeah.
know? And it's a lot, in all honesty, with Mike sitting here, it's easy to say this. It's like a football team. Every one of the 11 that's playing on the field have to do their job. And you don't do just your job. You're also making sure the guy on your right or left's doing their job, because if you do it right, you win. Did we win that battle? I don't know what win or lose comes to, but I know we didn't lose, okay?
Well,
you know, when you hear Danny describe this, and then I think of these NFL players, what a bunch of wussies compared to these American soldiers. You know, I mean, in reality, I mean, it sounds like, well, similar. No, it's not similar. These people are great people that are fighting for America. You know, football players are professional athletes. That's what
yes,
they are.
They are.
And our soldiers are people who are literally working for nothing because they believe in the greatness of this country. So,
well,
again, congratulations to the soldiers
in that event. I'll say this in defense of football players.
I
was at a dinner that Roger Franklin Williams was hosting with
right.
one of our colleagues, and General Repass stood up and spoke at the meeting. And the meeting was with it was a dinner that was high school football coaches from the
right.
local area. And he stood up and thanked them. He said because his best special ops people had all played high school football. And it began the training process that you were just talking about, that they become a cohesive unit where each one's job is completely important to the success of the entire unit. And it gave them that experience that you have to work with others and you have to do your job and you have to do it right for us all to be successful.
Chris, one thing I used to, and when you make that statement, I had to laugh about this, Danny, because at Penn State we'd always play Army and Navy. And I'm telling you, and this is when they were really good. We go up the Army, right? And those kids never quit. I mean, you'd be running the guy'd be like biting your ankle. I mean, they'd be pulling you from behind. Anything they could do to knock you out. And I used to laugh about it. They'd always have trouble because, you know, size mattered. In the end, you know, we would overcome.
Yeah.
But I never saw a bunch of ferocious, tough kids. And every time I watch them play, I always hope they win.
Yeah.
And there's no greater places and there's no higher quality kids that go to the academies. I mean, they're the elite kids.
Yeah.
I mean, not these kids going to Harvard and Yale where they're left-wing radicals. Their parents are probably crackheads. Who know? You know, it's these people. What great, great. And it's guys like Danny and them that are out there that really are the instructor to these kids. When they come into real combat, I want to be with the veterans.
Chris, you'll remember what I said early on.
The
very beginning, I talked about, you know, the fact that I was so blessed in high school. I was the quarterback on the football team. I was a catcher on the baseball team.
Yeah.
And I was a point guard on the basketball team. And all those are leadership positions.
You're right. That's
so
exactly
what you
right.
do is there are ways you can learn to lead very young. And I was very, very fortunate. And I had great coaches. And that made a big difference. Not bad. I had great coaches. I was very lucky. And so what you're saying is absolutely true. And it carries over to the profession then that I was part of.
One thing, you laugh at this. My high school coach, we never never lost for 3 years. You know where he was? He was a Marine out of North Korea.
Yeah.
This guy was the roughest, toughest, biggest disciplinarian. And then I go to the second biggest, which was Paterno. So the lesson was taught early.
Yeah, it was.
Discipline pays.
Well, Chris, you're talking about, seeing the movie. You remember my comment about how I saw the movie, of course, with somebody else.
I want to take a break because I want to come back and I want to pick up because there's a couple of other things I want us to highlight before we move on to today's business, okay?
Yeah, bet.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll still be here at the National Entrepreneur Center located in the Fashion Square for Biz Fest. We are anxiously awaiting the culminating event of the night, which is what, Rich?
Pitch Fest.
No, it's not. The culminating event, the best part of the night, which is what?
Cocktail hour.
Yeehaw! We'll be right back. All right, it looks like the big T, Trump, is going to have a big payoff tonight. We'll get to that business here in just a few minutes. By the way, the polls start closing at 6 o'clock. Indiana is a sort of a quirky state because half the state, or part of the state, I should say, is on Eastern Standard Time, and the other part of the state is on Central Time. So the polls close at 6 o'clock in each time zone, so really about 7 o'clock. And probably about 7:15, the elections are going to be called, at least on the Republican side. It might be a little bit closer on the Democrat side. But I want to get back to this movie, Black Hawk Down, and the experience of seeing it with some of the men that the movie was made about. Colonel, in the movie, there is one of the more graphic scenes is when one of the Rangers gets his thumb shot off. That actually happened in the movie.
That absolutely happened.
In reality,
it happened. Matter of fact, they didn't show this as part of the movie, but he was about, 10 yards from me. I was in my vehicle. We had stopped, and when he got shot, and I got to him, and I had made a mistake when I got out of my vehicle because I moved over to him. Medic's there, see his thumb really messed up. And then the medic says to me, he said, "Sir, there's a guy up there at the corner of the building on your left side."
And I targeting
see,
you?
He says, "I see the AK-47 sticking out." He says, "He hadn't stuck his head out yet." And I said, "When he does, you tell me, okay?" Well, the mistake I made was I left my
weapon
in the vehicle, except I had my sidearm on.
Right.
So I pulled it out, which was a 9mm, which didn't excite me a whole lot. And I said, "You just tell me when." So he kept working on Galantine, and who it was that lost his, had the thumb shot off. Not completely, thank God. But anyway, then he says, "Sir, his foot stepped out. He's getting ready to turn the corner." I said, "Okay." So all I did was take my 9mm, and I just waited for him to stick just enough of him out, and I shot everything I had in my gun at him.
And
it got him.
That's a good American story.
No, I mean, it was a 9mm, so I needed every round I could get because it's not as strong as a .45.
Well, they may have got 16 of our finest that night, but y'all got over 1,000 of them.
Yeah, exactly. But Scott Galantine,
Well, you had another interesting experience with Scott Galantine.
Yeah, I did.
Tell our audience, please.
Probably the most amazing experience I've ever had in my life because the movie came out on a Friday night, January the 18th, 2002. I retired January the 1st of 2002. And the movie came out on Friday night, and I wasn't about to go the first night. I figured there'd be a lot of people there on Friday night. I didn't go Saturday because I figured there'd be a lot of people there.
I didn't want to be there with a lot of people.
I didn't want a lot of people around if I'm going to have to watch this. So anyway, I went on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock.
And
I lived in Georgia. And in Georgia at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, everybody's either still in church because their pastor hadn't shut up or they're home eating fried chicken. I know because I was born and raised
same here, brother.
That's right. And that's what we do, right? That's exactly it.
We used to eat fried chicken by the bucket full, and it wasn't made by KFC. No, it was made by Mama Bear.
It was mashed potatoes and
that's
chicken.
Right. And corn.
Yeah, man, exactly. If you ate fried chicken this day and age, you'd be considered a racist.
I know.
You know what? You might even be considered that for talking about it.
That's right.
I know. You're labeled, buddy.
Yeah, I am.
But anyway.
So this is a quiet Sunday afternoon in small town Georgia. Conyers, Georgia, yep. And it's got bigger now, but yeah, it was a small town. And I lived in Snellville, believe it or not, and I drove to this new theaters in Conyers, about 20-minute drive. And I figured it'd be easy to get in. So I walk in the theater, and there was about five seats empty.
Place
it was
packed.
And I said, this is not what I wanted, but I'm here. I got to do this, you know. So I went and sat down. And movies played, movies over, and I decided to wait until the theater emptied out just in case I might run into somebody I knew and I didn't want to really talk to anybody. So as I finally get up to walk out, there's about six people left. There's a couple to my left, a couple to my right, and a few people behind me. No big deal. So I'm walking out, and I see this couple on my right. And I kept walking, and for some reason, I glanced back in that direction the second time. I don't know why.
And
I would say it was a God thing, in all honesty. And the young man that, with his wife, saw me. He stood up and came over to me, and we hugged each other and cried.
Because it was?
Scott Galentine.
Scott
Galentine, the one that got his thumb almost shot off. He lived 20 minutes the other side of the theater in Covington, Georgia, and I lived in Snellville.
And as you said the other night, you believe, and I think you're right, God put you there for one another
exactly
that day.
Exactly right.
Just like he put you men there together for one another in Somalia.
And Scott's married and has a lovely family.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. We are the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live this afternoon from the National Entrepreneur Center located in the Fashion Square Mall. We're here with the third annual Biz Fest, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that a little bit later on in the show. Right now, I do still have, of course, the chairman of the board, Mike McMath, with me, and we also have the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army, which we would like you to join. And, of course, you can do that by going to our brand-new website, AmericanAdversaries.com. But I have Colonel Danny McKnight here with us this afternoon.
Chris, you had a general sign up last night, right?
We did indeed, yeah. It was a great kickoff to our month-long recruiting drive. We're in the midst of our recruiting drive, and we'd like to get as many of you as possible. Our goal is 100 new members, 100 new soldiers in the American Adversaries Army, so that you can be a part of what we do. You can help us, first of all, stay on the air. Second of all, expand into other markets and expand into more airtime.
Will the general be attending the eating contest on
he
Thursday?
He is certainly invited, as is everybody.
Oh,
of course,
yeah.
That's Thursday at the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs, 434 Tuscola Boulevard. We've got even more competitors. We're up to about eight competitors now. We got
it's
room for
a
couple more.
Dog fight.
We'll take up to 10 competitors. If you want to be a competitor, of course, you can call us at 407-774-8255, which, of course, is the number if you'd like to be a part of the show.
How many stars does he have, Chris? Do you know?
He's a one star.
One star? Well, tell him I'm just a retired colonel, but here I outrank him. Okay?
That's exactly right.
Here you outrank all of us, my man. Listen, Colonel, one thing that
seniority did.
One thing that came up in the question and answer period the other night is something that we've pointed out on this show before. Of course, you've written the excellent book, Streets of Mogadishu, and you talk about how political correctness, I don't want to say doomed the mission, but certainly made the mission much more difficult to accomplish. And we were just talking a few minutes ago about how you related to football, because you have each player has a crucial role to play. There's 11 players on the field. Well, you went to Somalia with eight players out of the 11 that you normally train with, correct?
That'd be about right, yeah, because we had 550 ready to go, and we had 100 of them taken away from us.
Right. And those 100 aren't they just there for to make 550.
No,
they're there for a reason, right?
Exactly right, yes.
All right, and there were, you were also hamstrung by the fact that you did not have the Spectre gunships overhead.
Correct, very correct, yes.
And Sean, who you mentioned earlier, he made it quite clear, as did you, that had those Spectre gunships been there that night, it would have been an entirely different result.
No doubt about it. Probably the most obvious piece would have been the second crash site, because we covered the first crash site just fine. We covered it. And the second crash site, if we'd had that other 100, it would have made a difference even in the second crash site. But if you don't have that and you got the Spectre gunship up there, they would have never, the bad guys would have never touched it, because they would have blown them away before they ever got there. And you know, so that's the political correctness that bothers me. And it was all political correctness because the first one was they took 100 away because they didn't want this to look like a buildup similar to Vietnam.
Right.
And if there's a relationship between Somalia and Vietnam, I like to know what it is, which there is not. And then to take the Spectre gunship away, AC-130, because they were worried about collateral damage. Well, if you're going to worry about collateral damage, you really shouldn't put people in combat, should you?
Exactly.
I mean, we don't want it, collateral damage to ever happen, but
see,
it can.
But see, even along those lines, I thought about this after seeing the movie, that let's imagine the Spectre gunship had been there, and you have the bad guys attacking the crash site. The Spectre gunship comes in, does a few blasts, kills a few people. What are the rest of the bad guys going to do when they see that Spectre and what it can do?
Go home.
And so they wouldn't have been killed either, would they?
No, they wouldn't have.
That's so right. We probably ended up causing more collateral damage by making such an idiotic, moronic decision that we didn't want to cause collateral damage.
That's because we had idiots that were in charge, you know, and I will very simply state, President Clinton was just in his first year.
That's right.
A man who was a draft dodger, who burned the American flag, who hated Vietnam and everything about it, and you know, whether he made the decision, he had to be the final authority to say do or don't do.
Well,
so there's exactly what you're talking about. See, that's that political correctness part.
I think we can safely assume that kind of decision would not have been made in the Pentagon. It would have been made in the White House.
That's exactly right.
So, Danny, you won't be voting for Hillary.
Probably not.
Actually, I do want to fast forward because we're making the same mistake right now.
Yes,
are we not?
Yes,
we are.
We're
trying to fight a politically correct war, and we're getting Americans killed in the process, and probably a lot more of the other guys killed in the process, too, that need to be killed.
And we just sent a few more over there, a couple hundred more, all right? And we've already had deaths.
Yeah, that one fellow got killed.
Well, I was going to talk about that.
Already.
Yeah. This was a so-called advisor, but as you've told us before, the advisors are what?
Advisors?
Yeah.
Yeah, they ain't advising.
They're doing what?
They better be shooting as well.
Yeah. Right.
You know? But what happens is then if they were to shoot somebody and somebody wanted to say, oh, they shouldn't have shot that person, next thing you know, we'll bring charges against them. I mean, I'm not kidding. That's what happens. It's unfortunate. We need a president like Ronald Reagan, like the Bushes, that are willing to make the hard right decisions and know that they may not be 100% right all the time, because nobody's 100% right all the time. But let's not be making stupid decisions that cause people to die. And that's what has happened way too much now. And you're right on the money talking about we're sending little pieces over to, you know, Syria and all this. But we're not making a difference yet. And we drop bombs and we kill civilians over there. And see, I'm a believer that bombs are only as good as the people on the ground that are guiding them in. When you just drop bombs somewhere and they hit something, you kill too many civilians. And we have had that happen more than once in Syria.
Oh, yeah.
More than once over there already, and Iraq, and Iran.
Well, you mentioned a new president. Tonight we've got a big primary in Indiana. If the polls are correct, it looks like Donald Trump's going to come away with a big victory. Should he come away with a big victory tonight, it looks like he's well on his way to getting the nomination. It would be he against Crooked Hillary. By the way, you guys spoke about coaching and stuff. Now, Cruz got some, you got Mike Pence's endorsement. He got, of course, Carly Fiorina as his running mate. But Donald Trump got, let's see, he got Gene Keeley, the famous Purdue basketball coach. He got Digger Phelps,
right,
the famous Indiana basketball, or was he Notre Dame?
Yep.
He got Lou Holtz, the Notre Dame coach. He got Bobby Knight, and you'll like this one. He got, Mike, he got Fred the Hammer Williamson.
I know, defensive back, Kansas City Chiefs.
The all endorsements
right.
In Indiana. Who do you think's going to win tonight, just given those endorsements?
I think it's quite obvious that Trump, all the Trumplicans will be out tonight. They're going to be partying, and it's a case that maybe this thing's resolved and let's go get things done. Just, we got to clean the sewer out of Washington. It's a complete sewer.
Colonel, what do you think the armed forces would think of a Trump presidency? Should he be able to take this thing the whole way? And I think he can.
I think the Trump presidency will be successful if, and he's a smart man, and if he's really smart and does one thing, don't do what some of the idiots have done in the past 7 years. Surround yourself with good people that know what they're doing and are willing to tell you, no, we shouldn't do that, but we should do this. Let the military be more involved with the military decision-making. And we haven't seen that in the past 7 years.
All indications are that's how he does business. So you would think that that's how he would do business in the White House. Let me ask you this. If someone were from the Trump administration were to come to you and say, look, you have unique experience. Can you come in and give us some advice? What would you say?
I wouldn't want to do that because I'm just so opposed to politics. But if they were to ask me in an advisory role to, would I give advice? Sure, I'll give advice.
Because, you see, I think you're the kind of person that he would be looking for. Someone who's not going to candy coat it at all, who's going to come in there and give the hard right choice to make.
And, you know,
and the reasons why they should make that hard right choice.
Yeah. And, see, I think some of our generals that have had to deal with Obama knew they weren't doing the right thing, but they weren't willing to do the hard right thing. They were more willing to just, oh, well, we won't rot the boat, okay?
Maybe it won't get so bad.
Well, guess what? It got so bad.
It did.
And I will just point blank say General Dempsey, United States Army, who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, was the god-awful worst chairman that I can remember. And
that's
an Army guy. And that's an Army guy. He was one
horrible.
Of those that never, ever wanted to rock the boat. He just wanted to make things just sort of happen, and they'll be okay. Now we've got a Marine four-star in there. He ain't exactly playing patty cake like General Dempsey did. So that's what I look for. Let's get the people to stand up and say, look, Commander-in-Chief, i.e. President, you're not the one that should be making these decisions because you don't know how to make these decisions. Let us do it. But Dempsey would never do that. General Dunford, who I'm referring to as the Marine four-star, he's been willing to do it already. I hope we can continue that. But I don't know if Hillary gets in there. God help us.
Well, I was just going to ask you the flip side. What do you think it would do to morale, and it's probably pretty bad now, in the military should Hillary Clinton get elected president?
The morale is pretty bad right now. It has really been devastated because they've been cutting us back in the military. The Army's down. Their target is 420,000, the lowest since World War II. That's the Army alone. How many ships have we now got mothballed already?
Yep.
How many airplanes are sitting on runways not being flown anymore? And see, the morale is already affected. When you give a guy his pink slip, as we'll call it, and he's fighting in Afghanistan, and then when you finish this tour over here, you've got 90 days to get out.
Yeah.
You want to talk about morale being down? It's been devastated. If Hillary comes in with the things I know that she'll try to do, it will devastate our military and we'll become the weakest we've ever been in the history of our country.
And then, of course, you got Vladimir Putin staging all of these,
testing moments.
Yes, exactly. The most recent, of course, the barrel roll. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's not afraid of anything, is he?
Evidently not.
Why should he be?
And he's surely not afraid because he knows Obama ain't going to do anything, you know, because the right action would have been to shoot those planes down. I mean, I really believe that. That would have been the right action. That's what he should have done.
Right.
But I'm sure they had guidance, direction.
Oh, yeah.
Orders. Weapons tight means you don't shoot, okay?
Right.
And I'm sure that's what was going on there. Putin ain't afraid, you know?
No, you know what I actually think, and like you're talking about, Dan, I actually believe because of the way he's run his companies and how the people who work for him admire him and everything else, I believe he will let the military be the military. In other words, he's going to do the right thing by the military. And I don't believe that's just rhetoric. Not like the Clintons, not like the Obamas. I mean, I think he's doing 100% the right thing. And I think America is perceiving him as such an individual. And after tonight, I think all the closet cases, Trumpkins, you know, meaning they're coming out of the closet tonight. And you're going to see a massive run. But I think it's going to be a phenomenal, I hope and pray, for our military. Because these are the people that deserve it. I'm not worried about are we politically correct? Get rid of that junk. It's destroyed the country as it is today. So I think the military is heading the right direction if he's elected.
If he's elected. And to answer you real bluntly, Chris, if Donald Trump does get elected to be the president and he was to call me and say, hey, I know you're that Black Hawk Down guy that's sort of half crazy. Will you come up here and talk to me? I'd be there in a flash. Because I believe he'd listen.
Right.
I believe he would listen.
That's what I mean. I think he would seek people like you out because he knows that people like you have got the let's just say you know the lay of the land. And people in suits in Washington, D.C., excuse me for saying, but don't know a damn thing what they are talking about.
Right.
And I mean all of them. With all their great plans and all this and their great understanding, look at the mess they have got us in because they have not been listening to the colonels and the people who actually see the enemy, literally see the colors of the corneas in their eyes.
So what you're saying is the current Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, who has no background, no experience in a uniform, you think he's not doing well, huh?
I think he's a fish out of water.
I think he's an idiot, okay?
Exactly.
I'll put it bluntly.
Exactly.
No, unbelievable. But see, that's what you're saying, and you're exactly right. He's the perfect example. He is the perfect example of somebody that should not have been in that position as the Secretary of Defense.
And he was never in the military.
Zero.
That is so embarrassing. That you could even put somebody like that in position.
I can kind of understand where Trump's coming from. when I graduated from college, one of the first jobs I got was at a place called Special Effects Technology. We produced live convention shows. So we did stage lighting and sound. And most of the guys that worked there that actually produced the shows, in other words, made them happen, built the stages, put up the lighting and rigged the sound and all that stuff. They'd either been roadies for rock and roll bands or whoever. They'd come up through high school and theater and all that. Not me. I came in with a political science and philosophy degree, right?
Oh, wow.
So I didn't know beans about stage lighting and sound. But I was put in charge of making sure the productions got to the right place at the right time with the right people, the right stage lighting and sound. So you know what I did? I surrounded myself with a core group of guys and gals who knew all about stage lighting and sound. And I said, you tell me what you need. I'll tell you what needs to be done. You tell me what you need and why you need it, and I'll make sure you get it. And guess what? It worked just fine.
Yeah.
We were the top production company in this town for about 5 years running. And it was because I got smart people who knew more about what they needed to do than I did, gave them the task, gave them what they needed to do it, and got the hell out of their way. And everything worked just fine. And I think if this guy does the same thing at that level, we'll be doing just fine.
It's interesting because you've met Sean Watson just recently.
Yes.
Sean Watson was the perfect example of the kind of non-commissioned officers that I had. And who do you think I would get advice from more than anybody else in the unit? Sean Watson, Bob Gallagher, Chris Hardy, all of them sergeant first class platoon sergeants
right.
at that time.
Right.
That's who I would go to, those kind of guys, and say, okay, this is what I think we're going to need to do, whether it's training, whatever. Well, give me your feedback. And they were they knew if I asked, I wanted them to be totally honest.
Right.
You know? And Sean is the example of that, and that's who you saw that the other night.
Yeah, see,
that's what you do.
A good leader knows. No human being alive knows everything about any given situation.
Oh, I've met a couple of my bosses that thought they were.
There's a few.
Hey, wait a minute now.
As I said, true leaders.
Joe.
True leaders are not intimidated by getting advice from the lowest guy on the totem pole.
Got it. That's where.
Because they know sometimes it's going to be good advice.
Who's wallowing around in the dirt the most? The lowest guy on the totem pole.
Right.
And therefore, they have an idea of what's good and what's not.
Indeed.
You're exactly right.
Indeed.
You know, too, Chris, when you hear Danny and then you watch what happened this weekend over, you know, in California, you have all these illegal immigrants, you know, carrying flags, United States of Mexico. You have them stomping on the American flag. These are people who have never paid a dime in taxes all they do is live off of American generosity. You know what? I think you gather these people up and say, hey, you want to stay here? You haven't put a road in. You haven't put a bridge in. You've done absolutely nothing. And I would say 99% of the crowd that was acting that way, a lot of them were paid by George Soros.
Sure.
And did you know this, that Hillary Clinton's daughter had her wedding reception in George Soros's house?
Yes, I did.
And anybody listening, remember, when you vote, in he's a devout communist.
Yes.
George Soros's house where Hillary Clinton's daughter had her wedding reception. But doesn't that make you sick? And these people, and then the media twists and turns it like it's Trump's fault.
Oh, I
know.
These
are paid thugs who do nothing for this country to provide roads, airports, anything. I mean, something's really astray. That's why Trump's going to win.
Yep.
Colonel, let me ask you another question. This was announced here just over the last few days. We have a new commander for the U.S. Northern Command, Air Force General Lori Robinson. In the past, you have been, you know, fine. You've worked alongside women in the military. You know, many of them are quite capable. Really, all of them are quite capable of doing the job.
Most of them.
But do you think that this was done, instance of trying to break barriers and appoint a woman just because she's a woman? Or do you have hope that she is going to be a good commander of the Northern Command? By the way, the Northern Command is, correct me if I'm wrong, is in charge of protecting the continental United States.
Yes. Well, you can look at a couple of different a couple other examples to help answer that question. We had the first female Surgeon General for the Army a while back. She was phenomenal. Guess who's the next one? Another female. I'm not saying they're incompetent by any means, or they're not can't do. But it's just so interesting. This is being rammed down our throats, is what I call that.
Right.
I mean, come on. You know, let's be real about this. You know, and she's probably just fine. But aren't people starting to see that this is becoming something? We just put the first female in BUDS training, which is SEAL Team
SEAL. Yeah.
Training.
Right.
Are they out of their mind? I mean, come on. The Ranger thing, we've dealt with that now. And one of them just got put in the infantry that went through Rangers. She's an infantry officer. She's 5'2". Oh. You know, she weighs maybe 145 pounds. I promise you, when that 6'5" sergeant out there gets killed, she can't get him out. That's what I disagree about. So I don't have a problem putting people in positions, but let's make sure they're the right people that are totally qualified. I don't know if that's what they did at NORTHCOM, because I'd have to read more. But what you're saying is there's a trend, and the trend is going the wrong way.
Right.
You can't tell me there wasn't a general officer already prepared to take that had pants on, okay,
right.
A guy.
Right.
I just can't believe that that's the case. So we're seeing this where it's almost like they're trying to make sure we understand that everybody can fill a position, whether it's male or female. And guess what? That's not true. That's not true. You know, I'm waiting for the day one becomes a Ranger Battalion Commander. If it does, I'll slip my wrist that day.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, Danny.
I hope that day is a long way off.
Oh, boy.
Me and you both.
Yeah.
Did you see this, Danny? There's a show on TV. It has the right name, the wrong characters, called Quantico. And the other night, they had the American terrorist cell, and the American terrorist cell was yelling, "Make America Great Again." Do you believe that the left-wing radicals put that in? You know, just you know, the whack away at Trump. When that, you don't need to do that. And then it's Americans that are yelling that. What a disgusting group.
Yep.
And that was ABC, which I think is part of the Disney group. Oh, my God, Disney, ESPN, ABC.
But you know what's going to happen next? Next big position they're going to put a female in? And like I said, I love females in the military. I have no problem with it. But let's make sure we're doing the right thing. Wait till the ones with chairman of the Joint Chiefs. It's coming. You watch. It's coming.
If they can get it done in the next, nine
months? In the next
months. See, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Unless Hillary gets it.
That's exactly right. Oh, see, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, we are going to have to work as hard as we can to prevent Hillary Clinton from becoming president of the United States. Whether you are currently a supporter of Donald Trump or not, well, obviously, if you are, it'll be an easy decision if he gets the nomination. But for those of you out there who are not a supporter of Donald Trump, yes, you'll be able to rationalize all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't vote for him. But I tell you what, at the end of the day, there's one reason that outweighs all reasons why you should not vote for him as to why you should vote for him, and that, of course, is crooked Hillary.
That's correct.
I mean, I thought you were going to say her husband.
Yeah. Well, he's part of the package.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's a package deal.
Did you hear, Chris, she announced that he is going to actually work for her in the White House as a job provider? Can you imagine a conversation? Hi, this is a Bill Clinton. We need a foundation contribution.
See, that's
before
the deal.
I talk to you about the job.
That's the deal Bill made with Hillary to go
Can
out and campaign for
that?
Her. He wants to be able to screen all the interns, don't you see?
Yes, right.
That's the bonus. Plan.
I mean, think what he did.
The way
when
he puts it is, he gets first crack at the interns. You see?
Yeah. See, think what he did when he was a president. Now he can run all over the White House.
Indeed,
he can worry about it, right?
Yeah. He will have full range.
No, absolutely. Yeah, he's going to be her chief advisor.
I mean, can you imagine that? I think it'll be show. That has to be one of our contests. What would Bill's conversation be with the business he's going to help? Hi, Bob. It's Bill Clinton. Our foundation needs $200 million. How about this? And then, by the way, we'll work on jobs later, okay?
All right. Well, we'll see. After tonight, we'll know, the answer about Indiana. The polls will start closing there in just a few minutes at 6 o'clock. The polls in the eastern time zone of the state will start closing. The polls in the central time will close at 6 o'clock. That time, so that'll be actually 7 o'clock our time. There are some exit polls that are starting to trickle out now, and probably around a little after 7 o'clock, we should pretty well have a. I think we'll know the fate of the Democrat side, and excuse me, the Republican side. Anyway, mm-hmm. The Democrat side might take a little bit longer, but I think it's a done deal there too. Anyway, that's what the polls show us going into tonight. Of course, until the people have their say, we won't know for sure. But if you look and listen to the candidates today, Donald Trump looked and sounded like someone who is very comfortable and appears to be on his way to victory. And unfortunately, Ted Cruz sounded like someone who's quite frustrated with the whole process. Mm-hmm. And things just don't seem to be going his way. Anyway, we have to take a break now. We did go this full half hour without break. I want to thank our sponsors for allowing me the freedom to do that. We got, by the way, once again, I want you to come out and join us tomorrow.
Thursday night,
well,
too.
Tomorrow we're going to be at the Debbie Turner Cancer Center mm-hmm. in Apopka. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that after the top of the hour. And, of course, Thursday we're going to be at Tijuana Flats for our taco eating contest. So I want you all to come out and join us for
Should
that, too.
Be a packed house. We got a band coming 7 o'clock, right, Chris? They start playing?
7 o'clock band comprised of 5 members of the Winter Springs Police Department.
And where are you doing that at?
At Winter Springs Tijuana Flats.
Oh, okay.
Address, though, is 434
and Tuscaloosa Boulevard.
I think it's 160 Tuscaloosa. Yep.
It's right there at the intersection. Yep. You can't miss it. And we will be right back with more of the American Adversaries from BizFest.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit and pray up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on the road.
All right, folks, it won't be long now, and we're going to see the results coming out of Indiana. The polls are, well, they just closed in the eastern time zone of that state. They also have a central time zone in that state, so they'll close in another hour. But it won't be too long now, and we'll know where this Republican primary is going. I think we've known for a while now where the Democrat primary is going. Welcome to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. I am Christopher Hart, and joining me at the National Entrepreneur Center, third annual Biz Fest, being sponsored by SCORE, is my co-host on our What's the SCORE show, which was conceived right here 2 years ago.
Exactly, over about 10 beers.
Yeah, that is, of course, Rich Jekyll of SCORE.
Yes, it is.
And those 10 beers were consumed by Rich. That wasn't a cumulative total.
Yeah. Where'd you get that music from?
Hey, that's
you like that music?
That's Aerosmith, baby.
Okay.
Yeah, it came off a CD called
America's Band.
Rocking with Old Bobo, I think it is. Anyway, Mike McBath is still here at the table, as is Colonel Danny McKnight. And, of course, Colonel McKnight is the commanding general of our American Adversaries Army. And, folks, if you are a member of the American Adversaries Army, you will then be associated with Colonel Danny McKnight, because he will be your commanding general. And even though he's a colonel, he outranks all of us.
Hey, Chris, can I ask Danny, what's your shirt saying?
I think it says Benghazi Matters.
That's what
it says hashtag Benghazi Matters.
That's exactly right.
That's on the front
right.
side of your shirt. Tell them what it says on the back side.
I don't know. I don't remember that, Chris. You tell me what it says,
right. It says honoring the fallen, supporting the survivors, yep. September 11, 2012.
Yes. One of those guys is a very good friend of mine. That survived.
You got a number of those shirts?
One that survived.
That's great.
I have two. That way I've always got to clean them. So, that's a big deal.
I still love my Hillary for Prison shirt. I wear it all the time, and I love the people it irritates, because I know they're the type of people I don't want to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Well, now that we're on the subject of Hillary, so many people think that there's no way Donald Trump can beat Hillary. As a matter of fact, I've heard the same refrain about Ted Cruz. Actually, I do think Ted Cruz would actually have a harder time beating Hillary Clinton, because he's a known quantity. One of the things about Trump is he's an unknown quantity.
It's a loose cannon.
He is indeed. He is indeed. But Hillary's got problems. Of course, she has the FBI investigation. She has the foundation. But there are political problems which are going to be just as big for her. For instance, she was in coal country today, West Virginia. Now, you've been to West Virginia, right, Colonel?
Mm-hmm.
You know that area up there. And she was confronted by a coal miner who had been laid off, and he was expressing his disdain and his concern, and saying some of the reasons why people outside are yelling the things that they're yelling at you, protesters, is because we see that you've been part of this transformation. That's my word, of the coal industry. And what you said before about coal jobs, and her response was, what I said was out of context with what I meant. That's what I said.
I mean, I'm a pretty smart guy, but I didn't understand one word of that.
That was a clever way of saying, don't pay any attention to what I said before, because that was for that crowd. Now I'm talking to you, and I'm going to tell you something different.
The other side of the face.
Yeah, what I said was out of context with what I meant. Well, that means either you're an idiot and you can't express yourself, or you lied. And you're lying then, which actually then she was telling the truth. She was lying to this guy. So she's going to have some serious problems dealing with political things that she's gotten caught up in. And then, of course, you roll into that all the scandal everything.
And Chris,
she is eminently beatable.
In the coal area, I mean, this wasn't a joke. She cost like tens of thousands of jobs, of destruction, of billion-dollar industries. We know a few of the coal companies that recently went down. And for her, I can't even believe she had the guts to walk into that. But then I realized she's that stupid, because that was an outright lie. I'm sure every guy there went, yeah, okay, Hillary, that's good. Just keep practicing for the regular campaign, because that was horrible. And I can't believe that Joe Manchin, who I sort of liked, don't like him anymore, he backed Hillary on that statement. And here we are. We're all college graduates. And what did that statement mean to you, Chris? I couldn't figure it out.
It was the epitome of a political statement.
Yeah, just it meant
what
nothing.
I said was out of
Zero.
Context with what I meant.
I love that.
In a courtroom, they would say, well, are you telling the truth then, or are you telling the truth now?
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point here.
Has she ever told the truth?
That's the biggie right there. Yeah. They lie more than they tell the truth.
And Chris and I have talked a number of times about, look at Hillary. I mean, Trump has personality flaws. She has moral flaws that is just going to rip her apart before it's over, because I believe anybody with human DNA would not accept this woman for anything, let alone president of this country, which means so much to so many.
Mike, why don't you actually say what you mean?
Well, you know what? I mean, everybody can whimper around. That's why I say it's tonight the Trumplicans come out of their closets, and it's the beginning of the march, and bye-bye, Hillary. You're not going to make it.
Well, Colonel, we spoke a while ago about how Bill Clinton didn't allow the C-130 mm-hmm. Spectre gunship to accompany you guys right. on the mission in Somalia, and therefore it wasn't there that night in the mission now known as Black Hawk Down.
Right.
Same situation, though, in Benghazi, right?
Absolutely. Even worse, maybe, in my opinion, you know, when I look at it now. But, yeah, I mean, for them to say, well, we didn't have the ability to get anything there. Oh, give me a break. This thing went on for 13 hours. They could have had something there in 5 hours. They could have had people there in 6 hours. You know, aircraft could have been there. I mean, it's the biggest lie you have ever seen in your life to say we couldn't do, we couldn't do, we couldn't do. Okay? And finally, the guys that I know well were the ones that said, to heck with, we can't go. We're going. And they put their life, you know, right out there to help people. Exactly.
Indeed they did. Indeed they did. I see another one of the crew has stepped up here, Dr. Ken Vihek, who was at the screening with us the other night. And once again, it was a very special event. You know, we're here at BizFest, and BizFest is, of course, all about SCORE and business and promoting business here, entrepreneurs in the Central Florida area. Our business community has been decimated all across this nation since 2007, 2008, of course, all during the Obama administration. Does it concern you, and I'm going to ask both Rich, you this, and Colonel. Now, Rich, you were in the Air Force in Vietnam.
Right.
Colonel, of course, we know a little about your long, illustrious career, and it is just a little that we know, believe me, about Colonel McKnight's career. He's done so much other stuff that while he was in the Army that has been overshadowed by that one mission. But let me just tell you, Colonel McKnight has got lots of boots-on-the-ground experience. Let's put it that way. Are you concerned that we have brought our industrial complex to the point where we can't rebuild our military in an expedited fashion? Rich?
I think it's going to take somebody strong and somebody with some backbone like Trump to get in there and pitch for the military and pitch for small business. Nobody's done it for 8 years. It's just lying fallow. It's just laying there. Nobody can get loans to start small businesses, and everybody's frustrated because of that. And small business is the backbone of our country.
Colonel, are you concerned? You're a smart man. You read the newspapers. You see the news. You know the state of our economy. Are you concerned that given the state of the world and the state of our economy that we couldn't ramp up military production as fast as we need to?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind that we're on our butt, to put it politely. We would have a extremely difficult time having to confront a major operation by somebody like Russia, like Iran,
North Korea,
etc., China. I think we are really at the edge of survival if that happens. I say that, unfortunately, survival. I'm not sure we would survive if China, if Russia, Iran, some of them decided to say, to heck with it. They're as weak as they've ever been. Let's go get them.
Danny,
and a couple of them go together, can you imagine what that would be like to wipe us out? I think it could happen, unfortunately. It scares the death out of me.
So the next 6-7 months to me would be like the most precarious period of all for us, because if Trump were to be elected, they know what's coming on the other side. So that's exactly what we've talked about numerous times. I believe that if there was ever a weakling, they know it. Our military complex, sadly enough, has been decapitated by this individual. And it's a case that our military has been demoralized. And it's a case, you know, these people, they got a lot of, what's China have? 2.3 billion or something. We have 300 million people. They lose 300, we lose 300. They got 2 billion
wins.
Left.
Thank you.
Talking population.
They win.
Okay, Nick, do we still have Al on the line? If we have Al on the line, we'll take Al's phone call. All right, Al, thank you for calling today. How come you're not here at the National Entrepreneur Center?
Hey, how are you guys
doing? Go ahead, Al.
Good.
Excellent. How about you this afternoon?
Yeah, good. It's a little bit hot for this time, but you know what it is.
Right? Yeah.
So
go ahead.
I wanted to touch base with you guys on two points. One of the things that Kern was talking about with the woman trying to be in the Rangers or something like that. She was 5'2 and 160 pounds.
Yeah, he's talking about the woman who was just put in charge of infantry unit.
Right. And the thing is that I was telling my wife about this. We were talking about it about a month ago. I'm like, you know, from a man's perspective, you know, I don't care what anybody says. Okay, maybe she can go down there and shoot and all that stuff, and, you know, she can kill, and that's cool. But like Colonel said, like, she can't even drag a man off the battlefield. And on top of that, from my perspective as a man, you're always going to be thinking about her. If she's on the team, right, and she's in the middle of battle, you guys are in the heat of battle, because it's a woman, I think psychologically, for a man, you're just going to be always looking and peeking over your shoulder, and I think that could cost lives as well.
Colonel?
I know without a doubt what you said is correct, and my wife, who's sitting beside me, would vouch for this, that I have been saying that over and over and over, because that is our tendency as a male to do that. And we're going to be concerned about her on our left or right and what we can keep her from, you know, getting killed, captured. And if she ever gets captured, can you imagine what they're going to show on TV when they show the videotape of what they've done to her? That's my concern. The women in our military have been a tremendous plus over the last 10 years or so. There is no doubt. But let's not put them in places that I don't think is the right place for them. Has nothing to do with being competent or capable. If some of it is simply physical. And that's what bothers me. The two women that made it through Ranger school the first time, the normal 3-month course became a 6-month course for them. So yeah, I have a little problem with that.
Al, I appreciate your call out there. Thank you so very much for being in the audience. We so very much appreciate
it. Thank you, Al.
407-774-8255 is the number. We have another phone call, but first we have an opportunity here to speak with Congressman John Micah, who has stopped by the Business Fest this afternoon. Congressman, good to see you again.
Hey, great to be here. Nice to see you, Chris. And this is a great program, SCORE. I've followed their work for years and years, and this is, 50 years celebration. But they do a wonderful job, and they make some of the best minds and best experience folks available to help people with their entrepreneurial efforts, their businesses. These are people who've been through it.
I know.
And know the pitfalls, the red tape, how to make business happen. And so I just came by to say thank you. They had a full program today and a lot of good things. But people can contact SCORE, catch up, just look it up. And
yeah, you just go to score.
ScoreOrlando.org.
Yep.
And they will respond, and they will help you. They're just an awesome force, and a lot of people don't know it's available.
Well, Colonel, you just mentioned awesome force. We got an awesome military. I don't know if you've ever met Colonel Danny McKnight, right?
Hey.
Here, Colonel Danny McKnight, Congressman Micah.
Great to see
Colonel
you.
Colonel McKnight, if you've ever seen the movie Black Hawk Down.
Uh-huh.
He's played by Tom Sizemore in the movie.
I'm better looking than he is.
A real hero.
All right. I'd like you to look at Colonel McKnight.
Yes.
And first, I've got a couple of questions for you. First of all, was Hillary Clinton running guns through Benghazi to Syria?
Yeah. I don't know. I do know, you know, it was taken from our government oversight and reform committee and passed on to a select committee.
Committee.
We had about four committees of jurisdiction. I sat in on one of the questioning of witnesses who was there.
You were a pretty good questioner, I must say.
I will say, though, that some of our questions, everybody is represented by counsel, but some of our questions and some of my questions were interrupted by some folks who did not allow me to go forward with further line of questioning. I don't know how much more I can say.
Well, he knows. He knows Chris Tonto Peranto, one of
It was interesting because something was going on. I can't tell you I heard from that interview with that witness, but something was going on. I don't know the scope of it. The Intelligence Committee might know better. The Defense Committee. We just started, you know, our initial inquiry, and then it was taken away.
Would you make a promise, Congressman, to Colonel McKnight and people in our military that you are going to work as hard as you can to make sure that whenever we send our military into harm's way, that they have every piece of equipment available for that mission to them when they go on that mission? I'm talking about the C-130 Spectre gunships. I'm talking about the full complement of personnel. I'm talking about whatever it takes to get the job done. We owe it to these people.
Absolutely.
They give their lives for us.
Absolutely. That should never have happened. First of all, the ambassador and his aide should not have been killed. There were dozens and dozens of requests for equipment. And don't tell me it was because they weren't funded. There was money. I saw it sitting in the accounts. So that there are resources to save the ambassador. He died. Now the two SEALs never should have died. I can tell you, I have been in Incirlik. I have been in Italy in two positions in which we could launch. I was in Rota, Spain. I know that we had the capability. And this didn't happen at 3 o'clock in the morning. This happened at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the United States. There was plenty of time to make a decision and save our SEALs. They never should have died. So I'm very bitter about what I've learned. It takes leadership. It took someone to give the order. Now, we interviewed, actually, Daryl Issa and I, some of the folks in Rota. They never were told to launch, and that opportunity was there. We have the resources. I've been to Incirlik. I've been to our major base up near Venice, where we're supposed to be monitoring the African continent from that point. And we have the capability. We had the capability then, I'm telling you, to go in and rescue not only military but diplomatic and American citizens in most of that continent. And the easiest part to get to was Libya. I mean, Libya is a hop, skip, and a jump, just a matter of minutes across from where we had folks.
Colonel.
So, a lot of it has been whitewashed. A lot of it they played games with. It should never have happened. It should never happen again.
I absolutely have been devastated by that what happened there. I do know one of the guys very, very well, Chris Peranto.
Yes.
And I have spent time with him. I understand all the details. And there was no reason they did not get support. You're exactly right.
We had the capability.
Totally,
period.
Totally. For anybody
will
to say
anyone
we couldn't
be held responsible, Congressman?
You know, this is public, too. We had the drones. We knew what the hell was going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. But
we knew it in real time.
But
so
at the
it's
end
just,
of the day,
it's sinful what took place.
At the end of the day, though, will anyone be held responsible?
Well, again, you have a select committee that's taken it on. Trey Gowdy's doing his best. I'm hoping that people will be held accountable. I got to see the movie not too long ago that was put up. That was an incredible piece. People should go and see the movie.
He's talking about 13 hours,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen.
Make your judgments. Go get that movie. Go see that movie. Every American should see it. What took place, the lack of leadership for the Secretary of State. Then the worst part is to go out and cover up saying this is the result of some video which Rice, what's her name now?
Susan Rice.
Susan Rice.
Yeah. What the orchestration of that was a fraud. It was an insult. It just, to me, it's just unbelievable. But eventually the truth will come out, and what was going on there will come out. Libya is, of course, a
we're
mess.
We're counting on people like you,
thank you
to get the truth out.
Well, we...
All right.
I'm a persistent B-A-S-T-A-R-D. I can't say it on TV. Thank you.
That video, right, Congressman, had to be the worst video that was ever done, yes, because nobody ever got to see it. So it must have been really bad, you know?
I saw it. It was a bad video, but unfortunately, it was pretty much factually correct.
No, but the truth needs to come out. And this should never happen again.
No.
I have taken steps meeting with the military and others. But you got to have a leader who will answer the phone and answer the call. You got to have a leader who would have sent the people in there. I visited some of those places both before and afterwards.
We're fixing to give you a leader, I think, who will do just that.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, guys.
Well, listen, I got Dr. Ken Viek at the table. Can you take one more question?
Yeah.
We got 3 minutes.
Good.
Okay. 3 minutes. Dr. Ken Viek.
Hey. Excellent. Congressman, always good to see you. Nice to see you again. Pleasure. I understand that with the aftercare, the DOD has just set a number of monies aside for veterans with the VA as far as TBI, CTE, also soft tissue concussive injuries need to be studied. And I'm wondering if you could guide me on how we can actually, through the University of Central Florida, because I'm a professor there, how we can go about putting up together studies and actually helping the veterans continue a better quality of life.
Well, there are two probable sources. One is DOD and then is veterans. And we can give you the contacts. I've got one. In fact, my chief of staff is down from Washington, so you
Excellent.
Hit a jackpot today. But we can put someone on that, look at what's available. But the resources are there. They need to get to institutions and programs like you have that can actually make a difference in research and discovery and all the things that we need to do to address those problems.
I'm a rarity. I'm considered a government success story because I was in the military. I'm a disabled vet, spent 11 years in the Navy, have a traumatic brain injury, use the vocational rehabilitation education system that's offered to us when we do get injured to go all the way through school, achieve my doctorate.
Great.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And
awesome.
I've been able to work at the vet centers.
We've got a record number that are suffering from PTSD. We are at Lake Baldwin. We're looking at additional floors down in the bottom. We kept open the clinic, the pharmacy. But one of our goals is to look at that kind of injury. I've actually been at Walter Reed, seen some of the work that's been done there and other places.
We're just about to go take a hard break. One last question.
Yeah.
You have been a champion of veterans.
I've tried. My dad died in a crowded veterans hospital,
motivation. Will you push even harder in the next legislative session to get better care for our veterans?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've put a lot of money in there. We've got to get it sorted out. I've got 120 beds
I'm
vacant right now.
I'm not asking about throwing money at it. I'm asking about getting
just
better
common
care.
Sense. I've
exactly.
got 120 beds vacant for 2 years over here at Lake Baldwin. I have 60 beds domiciliary ready to go, all rehab. Yep. And it's but I fight continually. It's a huge bureaucracy, needs to be tamed.
Thank you very much, Congressman Malaika. It's always great to see you. We will be right back with more of the American Adversary. Hey, welcome back to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live on the road today at the National Entrepreneur Center in the Fashion Square Mall. And once again, we're at the third annual Biz Fest. And this is just the start of our week on the road. Tomorrow night, we're going to be in Apopka at the Debbie Turner Cancer Center. And then Thursday, of course, we're going to culminate the week with our Taco Eaten Contest at the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs. In the meantime, we have a caller on the line. I want to thank him for his patience. He sat through the interview with John Micah there. But, Bob, thank you for calling tonight. We really appreciate you being out there for us.
Hey, not a problem. I don't mind listening to John Micah. He's one of the few guys I think are doing a decent job out there anyway. But to tie in that whole conversation with the conversation that a lot of people are having on the radio this morning was about what the future holds for Donald Trump as far as the vice president. And they were talking about, you know, he's got to be from Florida or Ohio, he's got to carry the state and all that stuff. My thought was Colonel Allen West. I think he's a very intelligent, well-spoken, level-headed, calm, collective guy who really knows he knows the military, and he knows the game in Washington. I think he's a very intelligent guy. I think he'd make an excellent vice president.
Well, we'll stay on the line because Colonel McKnight was nodding his head yes as you were talking. So, Colonel, what do you think about Allen West?
Good comments. I will tell you my association with Colonel West. I was retired well before him, but I did speak for an event of his in Florida about 2 years ago. That was after he was not reelected because they, you know, did him in.
They changed up the districts and aced him out, basically.
But I met him that night, and I will tell you that he and I, we came out of the same mold somehow. We believe the same things. We fight the same way. And it was absolutely ridiculous what they did to him. And he is one of the finest people I have met in a long, long time. And I know he is very capable. He did a great job as a politician. He did a greater job even as a military leader. And I would be thrilled to see him get put in a place of responsibility and leadership in our country. And if Donald Trump was to do that, he would be a brilliant man to do so, because I agree with what your thoughts are on Allen West, for sure.
Well, not only that, but I think he'd be a good political choice as well. He's got strong support here in Florida. Florida is a key state. It's one of the states that's going to determine who the next president is. And he's let's face it, he's a black man, so he would have that appeal as well. He's a military man, so that would give a lot of people, let's say, they would be a lot more reassured with Donald Trump as a commander-in-chief. I think it would be a good choice. Be honest with you, when I thought of his choice for vice president, the first name that popped into my mind was Marco Rubio. Now, I must admit, I was looking at it pretty much strictly from a political angle, mm-hmm. in the sense that Rubio would help him deliver Florida. He could concentrate then on the Rust Belt. He could also deliver Hispanics. The question is, would Rubio be willing to do it, considering the little Marco and the stuff that they went through during the primary? I'm pretty certain Allen West, if he was asked, Colonel, do you think he would take the job if he were asked?
You know, I don't know if he would take the job as the running mate, because I think he'd probably look at Donald Trump and say, no, right after you become president, you make me Secretary of Defense. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to see,
yeah.
Because I believe he would put a very different twist on the military and the people that have not been willing to be politically incorrect. They were already political correct. I believe he would let them know very quickly, we're not going to play this political correctness crap. That's Allen West that I know. And I think he would be great as the Secretary of Defense. I don't know that he would want to be, because I think as the VP, he would say, that's not going to allow me to do what I think I can best do.
Right.
That's what I think.
Bob, your thoughts on that?
I bet you my life that there would be no Benghazi with him in charge. I tell you that much. Secretary of Defense.
You're right on that one.
There wouldn't be no Benghazis happening.
No, I think with Trump, there would be no Benghazis happening. Once again, Trump is not going to do the easy, politically correct thing. He's going to do what he thinks is going to work. And that's going to be the driving force. In the business world, you do what works. Because if you don't do what works, you guess what? You go out of business. And so that's what is the driving, guiding factor in your decision-making process. What will actually work? And that's where the military comes in, because they know what works and what doesn't work when it comes to using the use of force.
Well, I think with our military being pretty much hamstrung, hands tied behind them, et cetera, for the past 7 years, and especially to the level it's got to today. I think one of the most important positions to be fixed is the Secretary of Defense position. Leon Panetta wasn't bad, but they still weren't willing to do all the right things.
And stand up to Obama.
Exactly. And since he left, Panetta did, we've had nothing. I mean, we fell apart.
Right.
We really have. And now to have Ash Carter up there, who's a bean and bullet counter, he don't know his he couldn't
he doesn't know his ash from a hole in the ground, does he?
He couldn't grab his ash with both hands. You know? Get it, you know? You're exactly right. We need to fix that position drastically to make our military better.
Yeah. Indeed we do. Indeed.
Well, that'll be interesting tonight though, Chris, what Trump is going to say though when this thing is wrapped up. You know, how kind and gentle will he be? I mean, will he been vindictive toward, let's say, Cruz is out, right? Let's say Kasich, you're out. How is he going to treat this? This is really a good point for him to maybe do a little bit of a turnaround. Will he do it?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, because he's certainly hard to guess and, you know, interesting man, but I do perceive a major win tonight.
Yeah. Well, one thing is for sure. The business community in this country has been suffering for far too long, and perhaps having a businessman in the White House will be good for the business community as well. Right, Rich? Wait a minute, we've got to get Rich's mic on here. Okay, go ahead, try it now.
Absolutely. I mean, that's going to be great. If he can fix all those messed up hotels and everything that he did and make himself a billionaire, he sure as heck can fix what's broken in the government.
And that skating rink in New York, it's a perfect metaphor because skating rink in New York had gone for years and years and years. They couldn't get the thing fixed. They couldn't get it usable. He comes in, and in less than a year, people are skating on it.
Yep.
Well, Chris, you remember, too, the other day at the Small Business Forum we were at where they talked about government regulation as being the biggest problem for all these young businesses. There's just too many rules. Even with Mike, who was here, I'm sorry I didn't get to ask him this, but when are you guys going to run for office and say, the first thing I'm going to do is get rid of about 10,000 laws? Because you were, you know, but I mean, it's not even funny. They're just crippling everybody. We get up in the morning, we start a business, we don't even know what laws we're in violation of. When will the American people get smart and say, get this done? Because all they're doing is filling the pockets of the attorneys, which are 80% of all the politicians. When is this work going to get done? And it needs to be confronted to these politicians.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And, of course, both Cruz and Trump have made it quite clear that overregulation is one of the things strangling our economy. Right, Rich?
Not just that, but taxation.
Yep.
Every county has its own set. Every city has its own set. And the state, of course, has its own set of taxes. I mean, they're taxed out of business.
I know. And of course, Rich is, of course, with SCORE. And this is a free mentorship program for entrepreneurs. So he's seeing this all the time. He and the other counselors see this because business people come in and, you know, they're, you know, I got to deal with this. I got to deal with that.
Right.
And there are things that
they
don't
deal with this law and this tax.
And, of course, it's up to the business person not only to know which regulations that apply to them, but, of course, then comply with them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And they get little, if any, help from the government. So,
Rich, but SCORE does work with them on all the compliance responsibilities.
Well, they put them with the right counselor for that particular business.
Because I can see that for so many businesses. You get in trouble and you don't even know why you're in trouble.
That's exactly
and
right.
That just has to stop. That's garbage, you know.
Well, what SCORE does is send them to the people who know that stuff.
That's fine.
You know, that's like the military. You want to get advice from somebody who knows the military. You don't want some speculation in an office with a bureaucrat. Somebody's been there.
Yeah. Rich, how would you rate today's BizFest?
I would say it was pretty good. What do you think? You've been here.
I've been here all day. It looked like you had a lot of people here.
Yeah.
I was in the room, and I got to tell you, the room was completely packed. I think you're going to need to expand next year, Rich.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to go into your wallet.
Okay.
He's over there. Wait a minute now.
What was the room when you were keynote speaker, about half full? Or?
No, it was about 7/8 full, but they filled it up today. Yeah,
okay.
It was great. Yeah.
Good.
That was only because you guys did a lousy job advertising.
Well, you were
kidding.
It at the last minute, weren't you?
Do I sound like Don Trump?
Just a little.
No, you were blaming somebody else. Sound like Hillary to me,
I know. Man, they're firing from all over.
You're catching it on all sides. Once again, BizFest is this is to well, actually, it started to celebrate the fact that that Score was around for 50 years.
Yeah, that's when it started.
It was a 50-year anniversary. Turned into such a successful event for local businesses, you decided to keep doing it.
Yeah, it was mainly because of the Pitch Fest. By the way, we need to find out who won.
Yeah, I was wondering about
that. They're all in at the cocktail party.
Oh.
I know you. Is that
and nice this is where I should be.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Rich.
You shouldn't have mentioned
stage
that.
Stage right.
Yeah. Rich will be out of here.
We'll see you at the wine room, Rich.
You will.
Well, you know, another thing about Colonel McKnight is he's a businessman himself. He's an author, and he sells his books, and he also does leadership seminars. Matter of fact, I met a couple of people here today who had been to some of your seminars, or at least had been to one of your seminars.
Maybe they learned something, huh?
Well, they're here today. They obviously got something right, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm a full-time motivational speaker now, self-employed.
Really?
Here's my boss over here to my left, my wife. You know.
Can you kick their butts like you used to do in the
army? I'm very politically incorrect.
Yeah, I figured that.
I can honestly say I've only ever noticed two people ever leave, you know, and they were both women.
Were they thrown out
they
leave?
They got up and left. They were both women in California, so what can you say?
Oh,
okay,
that's a
we'll
compliment
leave it at that.
That
okay.
answers that.
Yeah.
But no, I talk leadership, but I do anything from 30 minutes to 7 hours, so, you know.
What?
Yeah.
Who pays attention after 7 hours?
I keep
but believe me, if you listen to him speak, you will be paying attention after 7 hours. The first time
I have a lot of wine the last 7 hours.
The first time I had the opportunity to meet Colonel McKnight, we were invited to one of his leadership seminars at the Rosen, one of the Rosen hotels down there on I Drive.
Yeah.
And we were invited by our mutual friends, dear friends, Mary Ganster and Ed, and Ed is unfortunately passed on, but Mary is still at it, and he was giving his seminar, and it was mostly police responders who were there, police officers and first responders,
and fire?
Right?
Yeah.
And at one point in his presentation, he asks the audience, "Are there any members of the media in the audience?" And I was there with Nostra Dennis, who was a guest host at the time. And we kind of meekly raised our hands a little bit. We were going, but we're on your side.
But I walked right back there to y'all, too,
he
didn't
sure
I?
Did.
I sure did.
Uh-huh. He walked right up on us.
Give me 50.
But that gave me a great friendship that I still enjoy with these guys still today.
He gave you 6.
Indeed. I tell you, the best part of doing this radio show are the friends we've been able to make and the people we've been able to meet. Including yourself, but I never would have been able to do that had it not been for this radio show. And I'll always be grateful to Lair Adams, who actually came up with the idea for doing the radio show.
Right,
and
right.
He brought me in, and I was just kind of out there just sort of skipping through life. And I had my own business, which I still have, but, I mean, I was just okay with making, you know, a dollar and living a honest life. And
you needed some focus. Why didn't you attend one of his seminars?
Well, I did, and I found that focus, and we're still at it. So with the help of Larry
and
some other great folks, I was able to find my place in this world, so to speak.
Very good.
So it's been very gratifying. But once again, SCORE is a great organization, and if you are a business person, you need to find more about SCORE, because I don't care if you're just starting out or if you've been in business all your life, I'm pretty sure they've got something over here to help you with.
Yeah.
And I know I've picked up a lot of great information and tips from doing the What's the SCORE show about how to run. The radio business has been unique for me because it's been hard. My other businesses that I've been in were easy. The people just came to me and basically put me in
that
business.
That ain't the way it is.
It ain't the way it is in radio business, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And without some of the suggestions that I've been able to pick up from the What's the SCORE show, I don't know if we'd still be on the air. But we are still on the air, and we are in better position now than ever.
Yeah.
Thanks to some great sponsors. Thanks to help from Mike and Danny and others who believe in the show. And, let's just say SCORE has been a big help, too.
Yeah, it's a fun show. And we're lined with Michael over there.
Well, listen, Rich, we always have Rich join us at our NFL meetings.
Quote,
Rich,
unquote.
Meetings? Yeah, and we occasionally have Rich
speak. You call those meetings?
No, all the players appreciate also because you guys are so receptive to them. And when they request help, you guys are the first at the door. So yeah, well appreciated.
You know what, Chris? We have a national alliance with them.
Mike used to invite me to those.
Danny, you're always welcome, but you can't lecture for 7 hours.
I don't want to. I just want to drink a beer with you, okay?
Yeah. All right, you're in.
Yeah, and when the colonel comes, there's usually some military people there that you guys have invited, and they hook right up.
That's exactly right.
And, of course, Dr. Ken, he's at a lot of the meetings. Yeah, he knows his way around them. So there's Taylor. Taylor, you're not leaving, are you? Mike's son who's going to work out and get ready for the taco eating contest that we have coming
up
on
Thursday.
The
reason he is here is just what we talk about, is to teach these young fellows, no matter what your education is, you got to hear it from the practical side. You know, guys that have been in the trenches, and that's why there was a bunch of them out here today, and they all have graduate degrees, but they're in the audience. Because they know where the real instruction comes from.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah, so,
and they won't listen to their dads.
No. Dads are always morons.
Yeah, you know nothing.
All right. I just got this from one of our listeners. The Drudge Report is showing these are early voting totals out of Indiana. Trump 52, Cruz 33, oof. Kasich 10. That's pretty much in line with what most of the polls were showing over the weekend going into today's primary. So if that was early voting now. By the way, early voting started a full month ago in Indiana. So a lot of people had already voted way before any of the last couple of weeks happened. But nonetheless, that was early voting, and it appears as though Trump had the momentum going into tonight. So he may end up, those numbers may end up actually being even bigger later on for Trump. We shall see how the late voting broke.
Now, you're a motivational speaker, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What do you think about Trump's motivational speaking? Is it motivational? Or is it a sales pitch?
I think the biggest thing I would recommend to him to do different, and that sounds funny to me, recommend anything to Donald Trump, but I think he's a little bit too condescending to people, and I think that does make some people sort of shy away a little bit. I really do. I think he needs to be a little more serious and not as much, sort of throwing the jabs in there and the funny stuff. I think people really want somebody that they know is going to be serious about fixing our country. And his comments sometimes, I think, sort of get off track.
Yep.
And I think people sometimes probably don't like that. I don't, I'll be honest with you. I think he's a brilliant man. I think he's got great ideas. I've said this all along. I think his presentation needs to be a little different.
I think his whole presentation is going to change once he goes and fights Hillary.
I agree with you.
I think
you.
This
I think
is
you're right.
All just, what do you call it? Smaltz or whatever.
Well, it's
smoking mirrors, I call this.
There
right
you go.
Now.
Well, as he puts it, this is a different stage of the game,
right.
So you act a little bit differently.
He knows how to play this game.
Right. Yeah. And that's just it. And by the way, the point that you just made, we've been making on the show, for 8 or 9 months now,
right.
that this election is going to turn on who the people, most of the people, believe will actually solve the problems the country is facing.
Yep.
And I believe that is one reason why Trump is where he is. He knew that. He instinctively knew that. And so his message is, I'm going to build a wall. I'm going to build the military. I'm going to bring jobs back to the United States. These are all problem-solving statements.
Mm-hmm. But these are bold statements.
I understand. But the other candidates were out there with the more traditional political rhetoric.
Right,
I'm the best conservative. I've voted conservative all my life. For instance, Ted Cruz, he has spent his whole campaign basically proving to the world that he is more conservative than anybody else. Well, he won that argument. We all believe him. But that wasn't what was driving people in this election cycle. People, even conservatives, are more interested in, can you solve the problems that are making my life miserable?
Fix the problem.
That's and that's right. The bottom line.
Yep.
Chris,
and
one other thing, too.
And I've been saying, if these other candidates could come and deliver with a better message that they can fix the problems, they will win. and they couldn't, and they will not.
One other point, though, which he really has a thumbprint on her, is this word trust. You keep banging home all the problems she has.
I wish
has
you would quit using that word banging.
Trust.
When you're talking about Hillary.
Yeah. Chris, this is a Christian channel.
Yeah, yeah.
But the point is, again, if he, which he will, you know, he's going to go right for the throat. And all he has to do is pinpoint. You know, I call her like Pigpen, you know, from that cartoon. There's always a cloud around her head, you know, and everything she's ever done, there's a cloud surrounding her. And all he has to do is keep emphasizing that, and then act like a reasonably decent guy, and he's going to win. He's going to pound her into oblivion.
See, I disagree with that. She's gotten away with it.
Yeah, but
she
the
can
public,
fool the
you
public
can see
somehow.
The obvious.
No,
not anymore. I think
I don't
the book's
think so.
Coming out.
Yeah.
She's going to be exposed for what she is.
This election season has been different from the start. It'll be different to the end. And traditionally speaking, yeah, she got away with it. She'll still get away with it. Not going to happen this
not
time.
Gonna happen.
Trump is going to make sure she is branded with Crooked Hillary. And that is going to be her name for the rest of her life, I'll guarantee you. Just like Lion Ted is now stuck to Cruz.
And, Rich, we have your bumper stickers outside waiting for your car, Crooked Hill.
Oh, great. Great. What are they?
That's right. And she is weak, and she's going to be weak in the Rust Belt. The Rust Belt states of Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, perhaps Indiana.
New York.
The Rust Belt states... Yeah. Is where she's going to lose this election.
Yeah,
that's if
well,
she,
I certainly hope you're right.
Well, let's just say
she's
this.
Gotten away with too much.
Let's just say
isn't
this.
Isn't that right?
That
in
Clintons,
the military,
the Clintons
she
completely
would have
gotten away with everything.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Well, in the military, that wouldn't have happened.
At some point, things always come back to bite you.
And you got to remember that the real show doesn't start till after they've both been nominated, and you've got
that's
that
right.
3 months period from August through November to get everybody back on the same page and looking forward.
Yep. Okay. All right. For the last few minutes, we got a special treat for you because we have the keynote speaker who spoke for the BizFest event tonight, and his name is Josh Wallach. Josh, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for being on the show, and you're getting ready to change the skyline of Southwest Orlando, are you not?
Yes, we are. Absolutely, we are.
Well, tell folks on our show who you are real quick.
Well, my name is Joshua Wallach. I'm a real estate developer. I live in Windermere right now. I've been in this community for the last almost 3 years. I moved here from Miami Beach to open up Mango's Tropical Cafe, which is right now rocking on iDrive.
Great restaurant, Dan. And it's much more than a restaurant.
It's much more.
It's an event.
It's an event. It's really helping the convention center to lure big conventions away from Vegas and really giving Orlando a nightlife flair that it's never had before.
And you're getting ready to add a whole big new complex down there, right?
Absolutely. Skyplex is an indoor entertainment complex which is anchored by the world's tallest roller coaster, a polar coaster which we call Skyscraper. It has it's a 500-foot roller coaster. It's got a restaurant, observation deck, the world's tallest drop ride. It's got a surf park. It has zip lines. It has an indoor complex for video gaming, rock climbing,
wow.
All kinds of indoor attractions. It's
big
really
boy
gonna,
toys.
Major stuff.
I have a little trouble with heights, so he's making me nauseated here just describing these things.
I was just going to say, are you supplying oxygen?
We're supplying it all. We're supplying it all.
When is the projected completion date?
Well, this is obviously a very, very complex development.
Yes.
Obviously, Mango's took 18 months to build. We're breaking ground on Mango's parking garage.
Well, I only have a couple of minutes. What did you see in Central Florida that made you want to build such a complex here?
65 million people coming and a very, very strong, strong tourist and convention market, as well as locals that really, really were missing out on nightlife and fun on International Drive. International Drive had sort of lost its way as an entertainment destination and was really just acting as a support system for the convention center,
right,
with chain restaurants, things like that.
Right.
It had really lost its way, and we're bringing that back and bringing it back stronger than ever.
Well, thank you so much for coming to Orlando, and all the luck in the world to you, and I hope we can talk with you a lot more on our show in the future.
I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. That's Josh Wallach, And it's going to be a great addition to International Drive down there. We're just about out of time. Nick has some poll numbers for us. Nick, what do you got?
Yeah, real quick, according to Fox News, 9% of the precincts are in, and Trump is leading with 54%, Ted Cruz 33%, and Kasich 10%.
Okay, it looks like the totals are holding true to the polls, and if that's the case, Ted Cruz is going to have some tough decisions to make come tomorrow morning. Okay, well, that's just about going to wrap it up for us. Once again, we have been here at the National Entrepreneur Center, which you can visit Monday through Friday from 9 to 4. Just come on over here. It's between Sears and Penny's. Introduce yourself and tell them you heard it about it on the either the What's the Score show or the American Adversary show.
Yeah, thanks very much for broadcasting from here.
All right. That'll do it for us tonight. So I'll just close it out by saying night, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
FM 105.5 at AM 660.